This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Ihis Wuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
the mortuary is overwhelmed. There are bodies lying practically everywhere naked.
That's Kelvin Lewis reporting from Freetown, where he reports on bodies of the victims of yesterday's mudslides being taken to the mortuary. Details next.
Also, a former top al-Shabaab leader defects, and the French president is calling for the quick launch of a five-nation military force to counter extremist groups in the Sahel.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story: in Sierra Leone, there are more than 300 confirmed dead following yesterday's mudslides in Freetown, Sierra Leone. But there are fears the death toll could triple because 600 people are still missing. Two survivors were pulled from the rubble and debris last night. Heavy rains triggered the overnight mudslides as people slept in their hillside homes. President Ernest Bai Koroma is calling for urgent support for Sierra Leone. He says entire communities have been wiped out. Heavy equipment has been brought in to dig through the mud, but many are using their bare hands to search for their loved ones. A government spokesman says the Freetown mortuary is overwhelmed with bodies of men, women, and children. Reporter Kelvin Lewis is in Freetown and returned from visiting the mortuary a short time ago. He spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua about what he saw, but be advised, the audio quality is not the best.
The mortuary is overwhelmed. There are bodies lying practically everywhere naked. Parts which have been found are being bagged, and according to the chief pathologist, he says those ones, they're going to bury them now.
Now, I understand they're hoping to bury all the bodies that they found so far within 48 hours to prevent disease. Is that correct?
Well, he told me that he would recommend and he would push for mass burial because some of the bodies are actually being identified now. Some relatives have identified a couple of them and they're taking them away for quick burial. But he told me that he would push for a mass burial. So he's in fact separated the children from the men and the women. He says they will try to make sure that they bury them as quickly as possible. More so because more bodies are coming in now and the mortuary is practically over full and there are no spaces for more bodies. So that is why they want to make sure that they bury some so that they can create space for the corpses that are coming in.
Kelvin, tell me a little bit about the site where the mudslides happened. What is going on there today?
Well, there are two caterpillar diggers out there. They're still doing excavation work because they believe are still covered. But what I gather is they are looking for only corpses. I don't think they would be able to find anyone who is alive anymore. But the excavation work is going on. They're trying to find more and more bodies, and some bodies are coming out from there.
Now, the president says entire communities have been wiped out, but we're also hearing that many of these homes were illegally built on the hillside where the mudslides took effect. Is that accurate?
Actually, to an extent, it is correct, but the mudslide from where it happened, it came down and also washed away a couple of houses which were in proper areas. So it's correct because deforestation, that is what happened. But those areas, we understand, they were sold by land ministry officials and the people who were living in them and claiming they had papers which had been authored and authorized by the land ministry officials and are authenticated. And they are very, very legal. So land ministry officials are being blamed partly for what has happened.
Kelvin, would you describe exactly where in Sierra Leone this took place? Were these mudslides to the north, east, west, etc.? Where?
Freetown is a peninsula jutting out from the rest of Sierra Leone. On this peninsula, the highest hill on the peninsula is called the Mount Sugarloaf, and that is where this happened. So from the center of Freetown, if you raise your head up, you're going to see Mount Sugarloaf. It's the highest hill in the peninsula, and it's just behind where the water dam is located for the city.
So did that dam burst, and is that why there were mudslides?
No, the dam did not burst. Soil simply slid down, and you could see that it appears now as a scar on the face of the mountain with all the vegetation coming down. Even today, water is coming down from the face of the rock, which is now bare. Lots of times the government had put out statements that people should not build in those places, but they've continued to cut down the trees for firewood and are progressively moving up the mountain with their buildings.
Kelvin, is any more rain forecast for Sierra Leone in the very near future?
The monsoon rains are likely to come back by tomorrow, Wednesday, and on Thursday. Chief pathologist Dr. Oris Gromar told me that it is likely that for the next 6 months they would be seeing bodies popping up in different places.
That was reporter Kelvin Lewis in Freetown. He spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua.
It's been 4 days since Kenya's political opposition rejected the results of the presidential election. Now Kenyans are waiting to see how opposition leader Raila Odinga and his allies will follow up on their accusations that the election was rigged. From Nairobi, VOA's Jill Craig has more.
Kenyans continue to wait in suspense for a statement by opposition leader Raila Odinga. Odinga was scheduled to announce his next move Tuesday. However, the NASA Opposition Coalition released a statement postponing his remarks to Wednesday, given what it called the urgency, complexity, and delicate nature of the issues being considered. The Electoral Commission announced on August 11th that incumbent Uhuru Kenyatta had won the election with 54.3% of the vote, beating Odinga's 44.8%. Odinga has rejected the results, asserting that the voting system was hacked. The opposition has rejected calls to challenge the poll results in court. The White House released a statement Tuesday congratulating Kenyatta on his re-election and said it welcomed the statements by international and domestic observer missions affirming the credibility of the election. It also called on Kenyans to reject violence and resolve disputes in accordance with the Kenyan Constitution and the rule of law. The Kenya Human Rights Commission said Saturday that 24 people had lost their lives since the day following the election as a result of police using live bullets. Police dispute that figure, saying 10 people have been killed, and all of them criminals. Meanwhile, the Kenya Human Rights Commission, or KHRC, says it is being targeted for closure by the state regulator, the NGO Coordination Board. A letter from the board to KHRC released online Monday accuses the KHRC of employing foreigners without work permits, making secret payments to board members, failing to pay taxes, and having illegal bank accounts. KHRC says that NGO Coordination Board Director Fazul Mohammed has banned NGOs affiliated with the opposition and has refused to meet with the KHRC about the accusations against the group. KHRC Executive Director George Kegoro spoke to reporters Tuesday.
Now, the third issue is around the veracity of the letter. Mohammed Fazul only attacks us in the media. He never writes to us. He has never written to us a single letter. We see these documents flying in the media and never directed to us.
Amnesty International says the NGO Coordination Board is also asking authorities to close down another local rights group, the African Center for Open Governance. The group is accused of operating without proper registration as an NGO. In a statement, Amnesty International said the NGO Coordination Board is seeking to discredit human rights organizations, calling the moves unlawful and irresponsible. VOA was unsuccessful in its attempts to get comment from the NGO Coordination Board. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
A former top leader of Al-Shabaab who surrendered on Sunday says he has quit the militant group, Mukhtar Rabo, also known as Abu Mansur, spoke to reporters today in Mogadishu. The Associated Press reports his defection follows months of negotiations and the cancellation of a $5 million reward for his capture that had been posted by the United States. Just last week, Rabo and his militia were actually fighting al-Shabaab in the Bakool jungle area. AP reports that al-Shabaab leader Ahmed Abdi Ghadani had started to kill his rivals. Rabo says he quit al-Shabaab due to ideological differences and now hopes for a lasting peace in Somalia.
French President Emmanuel Macron is calling for the quick launch of a five-nation military force to counter extremist groups in the Sahel. The call follows Sunday's terror attack on a restaurant in Burkina Faso's capital that left at least 18 dead and 10 injured, and yesterday, twin attacks on UN bases in Mali that killed 9 people. Macron has proposed what's called the G5 Sahel Force. It would be made up of troops from Burkina Faso, Mali, Chad, Mauritania, and Nigeria. The African nations approved the force last February, but so far, France is the only big financial supporter. Reporter Catherine Field is following developments from Paris. She spoke to VOA's Jody Capua.
French President Emmanuel Macron actually broke off his summer holiday to telephone the president of Burkina Faso to talk about what more can be done. There have been these attacks in the Burkina Faso capital over the weekend. Of course, in January 2016, there was also an attack in which 30 people died. And this really goes back to what Emmanuel Macron has been trying to push through, both through the United Nations and here in Europe, by saying, look, the region needs to have this so-called G5 force, the five Sahel countries, helping these countries to train their armed forces, to set up a military force that can fight jihadism in the region. This is what he's saying, that you're not just having people trafficking in that region, which of course puts a strain on security in the whole region, but you've also got these Islamist-inspired attacks of the type such as we saw two twin attacks in northern Mali on Monday. He says Europe has got to get involved, the world has got to get involved, but the problem for Emmanuel Macron, the French president, is all his calls for funding, even for help with training, have fallen on deaf ears. And he says you're going to keep having these attacks unless Europe and the United Nations gets involved and actually gets involved quickly.
Do we have any idea why there's been such a lack of interest in this G5 Sahel force by other countries who need to donate?
Essentially, there is a reluctance, particularly here in Europe, to get involved in what's seen as France's playground, if you like. You know, it's always been for decades. Don't get involved in the Sahel. That's really French territory. Leave it to the French. Now, that has now, of course, become the problem again for the French. After having looked after it themselves, kept it very much as their own territory, they're trying to internationalize it, and people just do not want to get involved. On the other side, when you look at other areas around the region, there are a lot of demands, not just on finances, but also on troops. A lot of countries are already quite stretched. And to now be asked to, if you like, put trainers into the Sahel region to help boost those local forces, some of these countries are saying, listen, we just do not have any more trainers to train these military forces, in particularly in the Sahel region.
That's reporter Catherine Field in Paris. She spoke to VOA's Jody Capua.
Humanitarian groups have sent an open letter to the UN Secretary General expressing grave concern over the rapidly deteriorating security situation in Central African Republic. The International Rescue Committee, the Norwegian Refugee Council, and others say CAR is once again spiraling into chaos. They say armed fighting is engulfing territories, and they warn of increasing callous attacks against women, children, and men. They say in one case, a baby was brutally killed while in her mother's arms. The NGOs are asking Secretary General Antonio Guterres to take immediate action to prevent CAR from collapsing into another full-blown conflict. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehiz Wuhib, 20 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. Following yesterday's mudslides in Freetown, Sierra Leone, so far there are more than 300 confirmed dead and close to 600 people still missing. Kenyans are waiting to see how opposition leader Raila Odinga and his allies will follow up on their accusations that the election was rigged, and a former top Al-Shabaab leader defects. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
Pope Francis is calling for acceptance of migrants and refugees as a way to show brotherhood, even as Europe's welcome mat is wearing thin. Francis spoke at a Catholic conference that took place in southern Italy yesterday. The purpose of the event was to promote brotherhood among Christians in the Mediterranean area, but the Pope extended his message to include anyone who wants to practice goodwill, especially towards migrants. Reporter Josephine McKenna spoke with me about the Pope's call for compassion for migrants and refugees.
Pope Francis sent a message to a conference being held in southern Italy, which is looking at the Mediterranean as a point of fraternity, of promoting peace and fraternity among different nations. And his message is all about promoting acceptance for migrants. This is a concern of Pope Francis ever since he was elected, wanting to promote brotherhood, compassion and solidarity. And we're seeing this message from him again, even as European countries have been closing their doors and making it more difficult for migrants to be accepted. The Pope encouraged Christians, young people, and people of what he called goodwill to consider the presence of migrants as an opportunity for human growth and dialogue and a way to build bridges and to practice charity. That's a strong message from Pope Francis. We've seen it ever since he was elected. His first visit as Pope was to the island of Lampedusa, where he prayed for migrants who were crossing the Mediterranean. And we've seen him drive home this message whenever he meets foreign leaders at the Vatican or elsewhere around the world, this compassionate, more caring approach about the contribution that migrants can make to various communities as well.
Who was he delivering this message to?
Well, this is a Catholic conference being held. It involves around 250 young people who've gathered in southern Italy from 31 countries around the Mediterranean, and it's being sponsored by a Catholic diocese. They are Christians, but he wants to extend this message to other people. He also wants political leaders to listen to this message. I think he's very concerned of the tougher approach we're seeing by the Italian government and other governments in the European Union who are taking a tougher approach on accepting migrants, making that dangerous voyage across the Mediterranean to Europe from Africa.
And we have seen over the last few years that Italy has taken on hundreds of thousands of asylum seekers. So what is the long-term effect for Italy in taking in so many refugees?
There's a great deal of pressure on communities, not just big cities, but smaller communities across Italy. They've been under pressure by the central government to host more migrants. Some tiny communities have several hundred migrants, and not all of them have jobs while they wait for their asylum application to be processed. Communities like Ventimiglia on the border of France have several hundred migrants in that small town. Many of them, as we know, try to cross the border into France and are sent back. This is a lot of pressure on communities, on social services, and the Italian government has been feeling the pressure from small communities. That's particularly why the government has taken stronger measures to try and support the Libyan Coast Guard, try to slow down that wave of migrants that we've seen crossing the Mediterranean. And incidentally, since the beginning of July, we have seen a sharp fall in the number of migrants arriving in Italy, only 13,500 since the beginning of July, compared to 30,500 in the same period in 2016. It's a bit early to talk about a trend, but we're certainly seeing some reaction to the tougher approach from the Italian government.
And another migrant development, I understand a UN advisor is criticizing the Italian government. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, Agnes Callamar, she's a special rapporteur to the United Nations who looks at judiciary proceedings and human rights. And she has warned that the Italian government's tougher approach, its desire to introduce a code of conduct for NGOs, is going to put more pressure on migrants and runs the risk of causing more deaths in the sea by discouraging migrants, by not giving them enough support, and by trying to restrict NGOs from doing their work rescuing people in the Mediterranean and saving lives.
That was reporter Josephine McKenna speaking to us from Rome.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Thomas Blondet, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Africa, I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, troubling times in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The United States says it's concerned at the inability of both the DRC government and an opposition coalition to implement a political transition agreement reached last December. A DRC political discussion.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks. Get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink.
Yeah. Now there's a youth culture that is being practiced by the youth globally.
I feel like the problem is that once the funds are sent to these developing countries, it sometimes gets in the wrong hands, and then it's the actual people that are supposed to be benefiting from these funds really never even get to see.
What does this mean for your local culture? Is it being threatened? Should your parents be worried? Let's talk. This is Upfront of the Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.